So we have Claire Thompson here, director of Dancing Oxford Festival. And I was wondering, Claire, if you could tell me a bit more about how the festival started and how it's journeyed over the last 8 years, because this is the 8th Dancing Oxford Festival this year.
It is, yeah. The very first festival was back in 2007, which unbelievably was 8 years ago. It started off, the original idea for Dancing Oxford was about celebrating dance, first of all, in the city, because there's a huge amount of dance activity that happens, and a lot of people don't know about it, because it happens in venues across the city, different kinds of venues. So it was about celebrating dance, but also about increasing its visibility as well, and kind of elements of taking dance outside of the traditional venue and putting it in the streets and putting it in other venues and really trying to provide a focal point for dance in the city, but really offer anybody that wants to the opportunity to engage with dance through the festival. So that's really the idea behind it when it started back in 2007. And it's happened every year since then, which is really fantastic. It has grown and it has developed. It has gone from a kind of four-week festival, which was brilliant, but felt a bit more like a season of dance, mm-hmm. to what is now, as of last year and this year, a 10-day spring festival, a packed 10-day spring festival. We have at least one event every day. A lot of days we have more. We have daytime events. So it's developed into that, but the other shift that's happened over the last 8 years, again, taken place largely in the last couple of years, is spreading Dancing Oxford out over the year. So we have the spring festival, which has always been there, but in the summer now we run Dancing Oxford outdoor, larger scale free events, and that's a really important element of the summer, that those events that we run are free events, so that really we can engage with people and cost is no barrier to people coming to take part and see what's happening. And then in the autumn, last year and this year and over the next few years, we have the Family Dance Week, which is over the autumn half term. It links into the National Family Arts Festival. And that's really a chance to look at how we work with families and what do we offer to families and join dance together, rather than offering it out to different age groups. So it has grown and developed, and it's fantastic that it does seem to be growing in popularity as well, and its reach, and the number of people we're engaging with, and I really hope that continues much, much further.
And can you tell me a bit more about the engagement over the years? Because you must have had people who tried the session maybe when they were a teenager and then have gone on to maybe study dance and lead dance groups. And do you have any kind of stories of personal stories of people involved in that way?
We do, on kind of different scales. It's quite hard to kind of track the general public, and so to speak, although we often, through the evaluation, will find that we've got people coming back and they've attended festival events the year before. Maybe they've tried one workshop and they come back and they do more than one. Also people that maybe previously have just attended workshops and classes and they actually come and see a show, or they've seen a free performance in town and then they do come and see a show in a venue, whereas otherwise they wouldn't have come. So there is that kind of progression route. We also have people, volunteers on the festival team, who have come along to festival events and are really enthused by it and want to support the festival in that way, which is just brilliant, because we rely heavily on a team of helpers through the festival period. And the other aspect is of course professional artists, and we've got a couple of dance companies locally who have performed during the festival. They've performed in the professional showcase events, and a couple in particular that are now kind of on the edge of where they're starting to go into national touring, and I've got quotes from them saying that, you know, the dance festival has kind of helped feature them and raise their profile and really help them in their journey as a small scale touring company, which is just brilliant.
That's just what you want, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And there's a couple of events, having looked at the programme, that I wanted to find out a bit more about. And one of them is Meeting Point, which mm-hmm. is Thursday to Saturday next weekend at Bond Square.
That's right.
What exactly is happening at Meeting Point?
Okay, well, this is actually an installation. It's an interactive installation that we ran last year. And we ran it in the lead up to the festival. And it was very popular, and the digital artists who created it really felt that there was scope to develop it. And because it was such a great installation, I wanted to commission it again this year, but it is in a developed form. So how it actually works is, on Bond Square we have two cameras set up either end of the square, and both those cameras will have anybody, any member of the public, behind the cameras dancing. They're invited to come and dance. They can dance on their own. They can dance. I think we can manage to get maybe 3 or 4 people dancing in front of any one camera at any one time. Live at that moment when they're dancing, what the camera is capturing and recording is projected onto the huge wall at the side of where the art cafe is. So there's one big projection, and what you see in that projection is a mix of both cameras. So the idea is we get two strangers at either end of the square, and they meet on screen. Kind of on the projection is where they meet together. That's why it's called Meeting Point. The interactive element of it is that the way that somebody moves behind the camera will influence what they see on the wall. For example, if they move in a certain way, say towards and away from the camera, it will send the image spinning in a circle.
Oh, wow.
They also will influence the soundtrack as well that they hear. It's been designed that the proximity and the way that they move in relation to the camera will have an impact. They can change the music, they can change the rhythm of the music, and so it is fully interactive in that way. So that when they're in front of the camera, they really get a chance together with the person on the other end, on the other side of the square, to manipulate and change what they see.
And they're given sort of impetus to experiment. And
exactly. Some people we found kind of want some instruction, like, what do I do? Well, we might say, well, you know, just move your arms like this. Or some people just really get into it. We had a couple of people last year, we had two guys who were street dancers. So, of course, they just did their thing in front of their camera, but played with the projection on the wall. And we had a lot of people had fun just watching. You know, we do have people who just didn't want to have a go behind the camera. But it can last as long. You know, somebody might just want to do 20 seconds. Somebody might want to get really into it and they do 5 minutes. Yeah. And we might have to give them a nudge to move on. But yeah, it because it can be seen, you know, by everybody around in the area because the projection is so big, it can be enjoyed by people just watching. They don't have to take part in it.
Lovely. And there's also an evening of inclusive dance, which also stood out to me. Could you tell us a bit more about this?
Yeah, so this is the final event of the Spring Festival, and it's presented by Body Politic, who are a hip-hop and urban dance troupe in Oxford, and they're being joined by Kanduko. Kanduko are a national touring company, dance company, and they're an integrated company. So they're a company of able-bodied dancers and dancers with disabilities, and their work is stunning. They came to the Oxford Playhouse a couple of years ago, and, you know, really high-quality professional work. And they're also being joined by Parasol, the young dancers in Parasol, and there'll be a couple of other guest dance groups as well from Oxford and also from around the country. So it'll be a really nice, varied evening of dance, professional, non-professional, some young dancers, dancers with disabilities. It will be a really great evening of dance, and really kind of showing very much what dance is about, that actually anybody can dance and can enjoy dance, and physical limitations do not stop people from moving and enjoying dance.
And Vissi, you've got lots of plans for family events as well.
Yeah, we do. This is something that, with the start of the Family Dance Week, it kind of kick-started really a focus within Dance in Oxford on what's our offer to families. So whilst we do offer things, you know, for adults and children and young people, it's also about how do families enjoy dancing together. So we are increasing the offer, what we have for families. So an example is, in the Spring Festival, we have Baby Boogie, which has been popular for so many years. That's coming back. Baby Boogie is a disco event for fives and unders and their families.
And there's all the lights and disco balls, everything, isn't there?
Full disco experience.
I want to go. It's
brilliant. Well, you can relative or friends.
I will find one.
It is great. You know, there we have smoke machine and laser lights, and the kids love it. But they, a part of it as well is there are professional dance tutors there who actually lead a mini workshop within the disco, so that the families learn a few moves, they kind of get to loosen up a bit, warm up before they go into the disco. And because Baby Boogie is really popular, and we have kind of had a demand for it to be more regular, so we are launching Baby Boogie in the spring, and we're running it every other month, so it's going to become a bi-monthly event. So we really want to be able to engage with families through the year. Looking ahead to the summer, we're going to be programming some companies that do work for a young audience. We're programming another company that do work that will be particularly appealing to kind of 6 upwards, and as well as kind of work for an older audience. So we are focusing very much within the festival about how do we engage with families and what are we offering to young families. We also, within the Spring Festival, we have two other events. One is a family dance workshop, which is two 2-hour-long workshops, and that's for any age. So that might be somebody bringing their granny. It may be somebody bringing their neighbour who is 10 years older than them. The idea is that there's no age limit, but it's about bringing somebody with you to dance with you. And then we have something called Fundango, which is movement play for fives and unders. And that's like a dance workshop, but it's aimed at parents and carers with children five and under, and how you explore play through movement.
That's great. I love the idea of any age dance groups, because dance groups are often segmented by age and ability. Yeah. And there's this idea of, you know, dropping off the kids to dance, but the fact that you can all enjoy it together is really important, and obviously a big part of the Dance in Oxford message.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah, I think, you know, dance crosses generations, and that is what's really wonderful about it. There really are no barriers in that respect, so it's great to provide opportunity for all ages to come together and dance and not feel out of place because they're not a certain age.
And you've got funding then by the Arts Council, which will take you for the next 2 years of the festival. And so what are your plans and what can we look forward to in the next couple of years?
Okay, well, the festival's active for 3 years, so it takes us through to 2016,
oh, right.
Which is fantastic. So it does mean that, you know, we can plan ahead for that. So for 2015, looking at probably bringing in a large-scale outdoor event that we've done before, but I'm really keen to bring back something that's aerial dance again, which we've done for Ulster Castle, which was, you know, really quite mind-blowing performance, so kind of really spectacular. So looking to bring that back in, develop relationship with some of the companies that we've got this year, but also kind of looking at, we're constantly evaluating, we're constantly getting feedback, and feedback's really important from our audience and our participants, and we want to get that feedback in the spring this year, and we will then implement that about how do we engage, what do we offer. We want to also increase the kind of outreach that Dance in Oxford does, so taking Dance in Oxford out into the community as well. So we are going to be looking at working within certain communities within Oxford and taking workshops out when we've got companies coming into the festival, taking some workshops out, looking at working with the family centres more. So that's something we want to develop over the next 3 years as well.
Brilliant. Would you like to just do like a couple of sentence sum up of why you should go to Dance in Oxford this year?
People should come to Dance in Oxford this year because there's plenty on offer. There's something for everyone. It doesn't matter what your taste is, whether it's your taste in music or your taste in dance styles. There's something for all ages. It's fun, it's not threatening, there's nothing that's very expensive. We have a lot of free events. It's a great way to just come along and have a go.
Thank you.